I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the Gospel according to Luke. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 20 of Luke chapter 2. While in the pulpit in Oak Glen this past month, it's been a privilege of mine to be able to share God's Word from the first chapter, particularly of Luke, and then on Christmas Day, I spilled into Luke chapter 2. And shared this message with our people at Oak Glen. I pray it would be a blessing for you to read from this very familiar portion of God's Word once more before the season's over, and to have the Word ministered to you this morning from this very familiar portion of God's Word to anyone who shares faith in Christ. We look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And then from here to the end of our reading is where we're focusing our attention this morning. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So that's as far as we're going to be reading from God's Word this morning. And we're grateful to God that we could read this publicly, and certainly pray that God's blessing would be upon what's been read and what's about to be ministered to us. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I suppose that we're not always so quick to associate the birth of Christ with the petition in the Lord's Prayer, where we read that, as the Lord teaches us how to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But it certainly would be a legitimate association when we consider the response of the shepherds to the heavenly news that was broadcast to them. The angels were, after all, a heavenly host of God's glory. And in contrast, the shepherds were but humble men who were keeping watch over their flocks by night. But the response of the shepherds to the heavenly news was heavenly itself. And it was a sign that God was, by his grace, doing what Mary had said earlier in Luke, that he was doing mighty things, exalting the lowly, so that the will of God would be done not just in heaven, but on earth as well. And this by the grace of God, who makes peace with men on whom his favor rests. And so this morning, we want to just take a moment to consider this heavenly response by these humble men to the heavenly news that came their way. Truly, God's will was being done here on earth as it was in heaven. The kind of reflection to which God calls you and me every single day as those who are called to be renewed in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we want to take a look at the reception to the news, the proclamation of this news, and also the praise of to the news, and the praise for the news, I should say. So first of all, to consider the reception of the news. Now, one thing that we have, you can see, if you study through, and perhaps you've seen that yourself when you look at Luke's gospel and also the Acts of the Apostles that he wrote, you'll notice, without a doubt, in both the gospel and Acts, various parallels that Luke constructs so that he can drive home certain points in the episodes that he chronicles for Theophilus and for all who read his gospel. And here is no exception as we look at this very familiar passage on the Christmas story. Because the experience of the shepherds here is very much like that of Mary in Luke chapter 1. In both of those cases, we see, don't we, that an angel or angels depart from those who receive good news. We heard that in verse 15 of our passage. If you have your Bibles open, you can see that. The angels had left them. They had departed and gone into heaven. Well, that's the very same thing that happened to Mary back in her the revelations that she received when the birth of Jesus was foretold unto her. We read that in chapter 1, verse 38. The very same word is used, actually, which helps to see the parallel. But the angel left her. It's maybe something we don't pay much attention to a lot of times. Oh, he left. He was there. He left. So be it. But in both the case of the shepherds and the case of Mary, this is what's happened. That's just one thing, of course, that sets up the parallel here. You also find that in both of these cases, in the aftermath of these angels' departures, the recipients of the news go with haste somewhere, don't they? You see that in our passage that the shepherds confer, and they say, you know what? We should go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. And so we read that in verse 16 that they hurried off, or they made haste to go to see what the angels had talked to them about. Well, that's the very same thing that Elizabeth does in chapter 1, verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried, made haste to a town in the hill country of Judah. So the one goes to see. See, in both cases, you have a situation where the angel had said, you'll see something if you go to those places. Elizabeth is with child. Mary goes to see her in haste. The angels tell the shepherds, if you go to Bethlehem, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And that's where they go, to go see this. They make haste. And in both cases, they return from whence they came. Mary returns from Elizabeth after 3 months. The shepherds return praising God for everything that they had seen. But they both end up seeing exactly what the respective angels said they would see. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important because the shepherds are being tied to Mary, aren't they? They're being tied to Mary by Luke as he pens the shepherd's track to Bethlehem. How are they tied? Well, they're tied in this way. Both Mary and the shepherds are lowly. If you read about Mary, her own self-description of herself is one of a handmaiden or a female servant. And in this case, also with the shepherds, we see one who is considered lowly. Mary sees herself that way. And she also testifies, as we heard in our call to worship this morning, that God in his mighty acts is God who by his grace changes the status of people. He exalts the lowly. He feeds the hungry with good things. That which was last becomes first, and first last. But that which is lowly is exalted. And that happens by God's mighty grace through the very one who begins his life lying in a manger. But who by the time Luke's gospel is finished has ascended on high to the right hand of God as the righteous Savior King that he has come to be. You see, the lowly become exalted. And when we see God as that one who turns your humiliating status and my humiliating status from slave to sin to child to God, child of God, we can find our tie here with the shepherds and with Mary. And we can see why we should be ready and eager to magnify the Lord for the great changes he has brought about in our lives, as we pray that he'll continue to bring changes to our lives unto his praise, and as we look forward to changes in store yet laid up for us in heaven above and the glories that await us. Now, that's not the only tie between Mary and the shepherds, because as Mary goes in haste to Elizabeth, or hurries along, and is described by Elizabeth as one blessed in faith, because you recall that, don't you? That's something that Elizabeth notes about Mary as she visits her. Blessed are you among women, blessed is the child you'll bear, chapter 1, verse 42. And then in verse 45, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Mary is viewed as one of faith, blessed in faith, having known the grace of God unto faith. And when we see that, we can see that that too is the spirit then in which these shepherds go in haste to Bethlehem to see the Christ child. They go in haste there. And it isn't that they go in haste and they hurry along and they confer about doing these things because somehow they have this vain curiosity of some strange thing that has happened there. As if to say, well, you know, we don't have anything better to do this night except to watch these sheep. You know, it would kind of spice up our day, wouldn't it, if we should go and see this amusing thing that has occurred in Bethlehem. Now, that's not the way they're looking at this. They're not looking at themselves and saying, you know what, we need something to spice up the boredom here. We don't have anything better to do. Okay, let's go there. No. You have to realize, even as Zechariah had said in a couple of verses before, in essence, those who were in darkness, and they were, as they were keeping their flocks by night, had seen a great light. They had been enlightened by good news. And the angel said to them, you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You will find them there. It's a sign for you to go and see it. I have good news of great joy for you. Your Savior has been born to you this day. You see, what's going on here is there is this eager, anxious delight of faith, of joy in what God has told these people. And a joy to see what God has done. And a delight that motivates them to go in haste to see the manger. Just like it was a delight of faith, you see, for Mary to go and see her once barren cousin. The shepherds were anxious to be eyewitnesses of this Savior. Eyewitnesses to what God had said and what God had done. They were anxious to be in the presence of the Savior. And you know, it actually reminds us, doesn't it, if you think about it, it reminds us of Zacchaeus. Now, our boys and girls know about Zacchaeus. If their parents are like anything like what happened with me when I was young, or the church programs, or I know from the fact that what I've done with my own children is I'd sing that song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he, and he climbed up the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Well, that story about Zacchaeus is actually very much tied to what's going on here as well. You know, if you look at chapter 19 of Luke, you can see that. Because the only other time that Luke ever uses in his gospel the term for haste or hurrying is with Zacchaeus. And if you take a look at that, you'll notice some of the ties that are there between Luke 19 and our passage this morning. We know that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. And in chapter 19, verse 3, we read this. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. And so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. He ran, hurried, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Make haste. Come, hurry up. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once. He made haste. And he welcomed him gladly, with joy, you see. A joyous haste. Some people didn't like that. And you read on and it says, all the people saw this and began to mutter. They grumbled. It's just the opposite of what was going on with Zacchaeus. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. You see the heavenly response to the heavenly news? The joy of the angels from heaven in their news is the joy of these people on earth on whom God's favor rests through faith. We're to take delight in our Savior and in God's favor, in his peace, in his direction, and receive them with joy. You see, in faith, both Mary, who was lowly, and the shepherds, who were lowly, and even Zacchaeus, for that matter, who was small and sinful, delight in the good news of the gospel. And also, as you notice, even with Zacchaeus, the changes that have come their way to their lives, to their attitudes. I bring you good news of great joy. It changes your life. Haste to bring him Lot, the babe, the son of Mary. Delight in it. In faith, take joy in the grace of God at work in your life, changing you. Take joy in the gospel of salvation in the Savior who is Christ the Lord. Take joy not in doing your own thing, but in God's direction for you, in light of his gospel to you. When we find ourselves taking that kind of delight in the Christ, humbly born, and yet exalted for our sakes and the glory of God, when we take delight in the condescending grace of God to accomplish for us in his Son that which in our lowliness we never could do, then we are responding in a heavenly way to heavenly news, which is exactly what we're called to do in a passage like this. We also see the reflection of the heavenly news with a heavenly response from the shepherds when we see their proclamation of the heavenly news. And in that way, they reflect the angels too, don't they? We read in this passage not only that they hurried off and found what they were looking for, but also when they had seen him, in verse 17, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. They reflect, you see, the heavenly news of heaven on earth by proclaiming it themselves. They proclaim what they've heard and what they've seen. They're ear witnesses and they are eyewitnesses to what God has done and what God has proclaimed by proclaiming as witnesses what God himself has proclaimed. And the result of that proclamation is twofold. Mary, on the one hand, ponders all these things in her heart, which is probably where it was that Luke ended up receiving this information in this Luke 2 event. But secondly, we hear that the people marvel at what's being proclaimed. And that is a worthy response, because the message of the gospel is a marvelous thing. It proclaims that the good news of Jesus Christ, the Savior born, is beyond are tracing out to fully understand. It proclaims that God in his grace has provided the only means by which any can be saved, and that which is impossible with men is possible with God alone. And that's marvelous. And it proclaims that nobody is beyond the reach of God's saving hand. Not a lowly virgin, not a lowly shepherd, not a small sinner like Zacchaeus, and not people like you and me and others who continue to need to hear the good news of great joy that will be for all the people, to marvel in what God has done for us and what he'll do for us in Jesus Christ. That's what keeps us going. That's the message. That's the heavenly message that continues to be the calling of the church to proclaim to an earth that needs to know peace with God and the peace of God that only the gracious God in Jesus Christ can provide. Now, finally, we hear that God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven through the praise that the shepherds give. Now, like Mary, they return from whence they came. But like Mary, also, in faith, they give praise to God, don't they? The shepherds returned. Mary returns from Elizabeth after 3 months, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They praise like Mary praises, but more specifically, they praise like the angels praised God, because the very same word that we have here for praise in the 20th verse of chapter 2 is the very same word that is used for the angels as they praise God, saying that very familiar statement, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. It's the same word that's being used. In fact, the praise that is being expressed there is also very similar to what happens at Palm Sunday in chapter 19, verse 37, where we hear the calling of the people as they praise Jesus as he comes from the Mount of Olives. They say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And at the very end of the book of Luke, after this one who was lying in the manger is now exalted at God's right hand, we hear that the disciples go to the temple and were continually praising God in the joy that they had in their ascended Savior and King. The angels give glory to God in the highest for the Savior born. But on earth, where peace with God and the peace of God rests on those who know his grace, glory to God in the highest is given by those who not only praise him for his birth, but for his life, for his death, for his resurrection, for his ascension. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, when we delight in the praise of the Savior, and when we delight in the praise of God for the Savior, as those who believe that unto us was born in the city of David a Savior who's Christ the Lord, then what we're doing is we are reflecting heaven's praise for the Lord God Almighty. These shepherds praise God for the good news and for confirming the good news in the sign that confirmed that this Savior King had truly come in accordance with God's plan. He was lying in the manger. That's exactly where they found him. And so they realized, as should we, that there is no reason not. There is no reason not to praise God for providing such a saving king. It happened exactly as God said it would. There's no reason to doubt it. There's no reason to disbelieve it. There's therefore no reason to deprive God of the praise that's due him. It is not nonsense for you to be here when you are called to be here. It is not nonsense to praise the saving God here and to do it with joyous faith in his gospel word. That's not nonsense. It's nonsense not to praise him. His word's true. His gospel is worthy of our trust. His message of salvation is confirmed in the one who is born in the city of David, lying in a manger. You see, he's not a God who should receive the praise merely on a holiday. He deserves this praise from us every Lord's Day that we get together, but also every day as we're called to give him our praise in the lives we're called to live. And contrary to people, and you know that that's going to be happening here in the next couple days again with New Year's Eve coming up, contrary to those who try to find heaven on earth by disobeying God and by focusing on oneself and losing control of oneself, this passage tells us that heaven on earth is found in the praise of the heavenly God in Jesus Christ. Why? Because the heavenly God brings peace on earth. And he does that through the good news of great joy that will be for all kinds of people. Through the Savior that was born and now reigns above, even Jesus Christ. And so if you or I are looking for heaven on earth, it isn't going to come, temptation notwithstanding, by focusing on us, on ourselves. Heaven on earth is going to come our way by a heavenly response to the heavenly news of Christ's salvation, where we take delight, eager delight, in professing, in proclaiming, and in praising the triune God. That's where it is. And that because of the good news. And I pray, my friends, that God's will may be done that way, all the more on earth as it is in heaven. And that you delight in doing that yourself. And this for the sake of the Savior who was born in David's town, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. Let's take a moment to respond in prayer to our God, shall we? Father, we do thank you for your word, which deserves a faithful and joyous and delightful and eager response that reflects that of the angels themselves long ago, who in joy, as they proclaim the gospel of joy, praised God and proclaimed the good news. Lord, whether it is in our faith that we profess, or whether it is in the proclamation to which you've called us as a church to reflect the heavenly news to others, or whether it is in the praising of our God, we ask, Lord, that the heavenly news about Christ's coming might be that which ushers in and continues to show forth peace on earth, on those on whom your favor rests, and might show itself, Lord, all the more in our lives, so that we might indeed, in these ways, by your grace, show forth that we want to do your will, even as it's done in heaven, so on earth.